I've used as an illustration the idea of houses and other things decorated with lights, just to try to open up a couple of sermons this morning. If you were here, I showed a picture of a pickup truck that was all decked out with lights, and I mentioned it was somewhere in the South. And one of you said to me on the way out, "Greg, how do you know it was from the South? How do you know it wasn't in Arizona or somewhere else that was warm, because it was a very warm climate?" And I said, "Because I know. You know, that's just the kind of thing you do in the South, right, is you would take an old beat-up pickup truck and put lights on it, and that's just kind of, it's a cultural thing." So I've been poking fun, right, and those of you from the South know what I mean, okay? So I've been poking fun at lights, and somebody actually sent me a picture today and said, "Hey, Pastor Greg, I actually finally found a house that I think you might approve of." So they sent me this picture. I thought I would start tonight with that. And here's a nativity set, kind of a crib out front. And on the front of the chimney, a cross. And right behind it, it says, "Born to die, that we might live." And I would give that one an amen. Again, I'm not real big on Christmas lights and all that. Not against them. You know, you do what you want. But whenever I look at something that helps me to think about Jesus, and helps me to think of the incarnation, and helps me to think about how much God loves me, that he'd be willing to humble himself and come into this world, that encourages me. And so I'm not suggesting you all text me or send me your favorite pictures, and if it's good, it'll make it in the sermon. But that one was a blessing, so I thought I would start with it. Well, this year we've had a theme, 2015 theme of trusting in the Lord. And it jumped off at the beginning of this year, which is now gone, with focusing on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "To trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." And we have had many, many, many messages, like the message we had last week from Zacharias, right? Here is Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. They're too old to have children. And what happens? The Lord sends them a message, right? "You're going to have a child." Zacharias doesn't believe it. He didn't initially trust in the Lord. But God was faithful. God blessed them. And thankfully, Zacharias had the opportunity to show that, yes, he was now going to trust in the Lord. And when they asked him, "What are you going to name your child?" He said, "It's by writing it out," because he couldn't speak, "his name will be John." And they said, "You can't name him John, right? No one in your family's named John." But Zacharias learned his lesson and basically said, "You know what? I'm trusting in the Lord. And God told me to name him John. I'm naming him John." And that should be the heart that we all have. That even when we don't understand things, even when things seem difficult, that we would trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Even when things happen that we don't understand, things that we would not choose, we can still trust in the Lord. Now, last week, Zacharias did that, his wife being too old to have a child, and yet she did. Today, we look at the account of a much younger woman. A woman who's a virgin and yet is going to give birth to a child, but as you know, not any child, but a child who would be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our message tonight, our last message of this year on a Sunday service, I've entitled "Trust Mary," and we'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Father, we thank you again that we can open up your word as an act of worship. We ask that your blessed Holy Spirit would help us to understand your word. Lord, speak to our hearts through the word. Lord, do a work in our lives that we know you can do and that we want you to do and that we need you to do so that we would trust in you, even as we see Mary did in this wonderful Christmas account. Please help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, the message "Trust," we're looking at chapter 1 of the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll see three main points that relate to this. 3 points that I hope will encourage you, taken from the life of Mary. And again, whenever I cover a historical passage, I don't want to spend all of the time in it historically, but I want to encourage you from the passage. And so the first point that we're going to see this evening is, don't be afraid of what God is doing. See, there are things that are happening all around us. There are things that are happening in our lives. And sometimes we can be afraid of those things. But we need to understand that we shouldn't be afraid of what God is doing. Let me read beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, let's just pause. That's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And you can see that if you just go back to verse 24 and 25, two verses earlier. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. So now verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. I have in my Bible engaged. You might have in your ESV betrothed or in your KJV espoused. This, let's just review real quick. This is so much more than our engagement. This is a binding contract that is only terminated by a divorce. This is not a guy and a girl that, hey, you want to get married, yeah, let's get engaged, because you can call that one off anytime. This is a solemn contract, a covenant, that yes, I'll marry you and you'll marry me. The main difference is, as you know, is that they don't live together. But Joseph would go back to his folks' house and Mary would go back to her parents' house, and they would stay that way for 1 year. Just to verify that she actually was pure. She had not been immoral. So that's what's going on here in the text. It says, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Notice that, I'm going to drop down to verse 30. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. See, there's something going on here that is very fearful for Mary to consider. You say, well, what's going on? Well, first of all, let's go back to verse 27 and verse 28, rather, and notice how the angel begins to address Mary. Verse 28. And coming in verse 28, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Why shouldn't we be afraid of what God is doing? Because God is with us. The angel says to Mary, the Lord is with you. But even as the Lord is with Mary, the Lord is with us. You say, well, wait a second, Greg. Don't you think there's something more going on? Well, you know, we want to be careful how we read our Bibles. And we don't let tradition, especially when it's tradition that reflects false teaching, cause us to think unbiblically about the text. In verse 28, my Bible simply has, greetings, favored one. Now, you may have a translation that says, hail, favored one. And you might be thinking in your mind, if your background is like my background, you might be thinking, okay, this is the Hail Mary, which is how the Latin Vulgate translates it. But that word, greetings, is a word that just means hello. It is not a word that is somehow honorific. It's not a word that's given to people that are incredibly special. It is an everyday greeting. Here we would just say, hi, or if you prefer, hey. And what the angel is saying is, hey, Mary. And you say, Greg, do you know that for sure? Yeah, it's translated that way in James chapter 1, verse 1. Greetings. It just means, I walk into church, and many of the church building, and many of you say, hey, Pastor Greg. And I say, hey, how you doing? That's what the angel is saying to Mary. So the angel is just saying, hello, Mary. Now, it's interesting because many of you know of the song Ave Maria. And the song Ave Maria is set to beautiful music that evokes great emotion, right? And there are people who love the music, and I'm not against that at all. You say, well, what are they singing? They're singing, hello, Mary. You know, I mean, think about that. I can't really sing, obviously, and I'm not going to try, but I was trying to think, how do you do that, right? It's you know the Ave Maria, right? I thought about, but I'm not going to ask him. Okay, David, I'm looking at David. He's just laughing, right? But, you know, I don't want to be silly, but, you know, very solemn. Ave Maria, or something like that. I won't sing anymore, okay? And you say amen. But, I mean, all they're singing is, hey, Mary. That's what they're singing, okay? That's the song, okay? That's all that's going on here. And if you think there's something more than that, you're not reading the text of Scripture. The Scripture simply says, hello, Mary, the Lord is with you. And praise the Lord that He's always with us. And we thank the Lord for wonderful texts of Scripture like Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, right? He Himself has said, I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So we know that the Lord is always with us. And to be sure, at special times when life is difficult, we may say, you know, I really need the Lord to be with me. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. And no doubt something special is going on here. And I'm not suggesting that the Lord wasn't with Mary in a special way. But I am suggesting, and even more than suggesting, that the Lord was with her in a way that's really not different than the way the Lord is with you when you face very challenging times. You say, why is it so important to know that the Lord is with us? Well, because not only is the Lord with you, but the Lord is gracious. God is a very gracious God. Notice again what the text says. The text says in verse 28, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, again, if you are familiar, like my background is familiar, with the prayer, the Hail Mary, then in my mind, I'm already thinking, because I've prayed it so many times as an altar boy, Hail Mary, full of grace. That's, again, how the Latin Vulgate translates this. But the text doesn't say Hail Mary. It says, hey, or greetings, Mary, if you prefer. And then it says, favored one. That word there, favored one, it's the verb grace. It's the verb that's related to the noun that you have received grace from God. To translate it full of grace is, again, to be unfair to the Greek text. It simply means, Mary, you're favored. You're a recipient of grace. God has blessed you. It doesn't say full of grace. Now, if you want to look up the phrase full of grace and do a quick word search, you'll find that phrase. It's used in Acts 6:8 of Stephen. Stephen, it says, was full of grace. So even if you want to say, I think it still means full of grace, it doesn't mean that you're anyone special. I mean, you're like Stephen. Okay? Stephen was graced by God. Mary was graced by God. We all are graced by God. You say, how do you know that? Because do you see that in your Bible, verse 28, where it says, greetings or hi or hello, Mary, favored one? That phrase, that word, occurs only twice in the New Testament. Once of Mary and once of you. Did you know that? If Mary's full of grace, which is a bad translation, you are full of grace. Because that is the same word that is translated in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. I'll read. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He, here it comes, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. That's Jesus Christ, the Beloved. You know why you're a child of God? If you're a child of God, because God predestined to adopt you as a son through Jesus Christ. Why? It's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. What grace? The grace which He freely bestowed on you. And Mary. And every other person who's believed in Jesus as his or her Messiah. You say, so Greg, you're suggesting that Mary needed to believe in Jesus as her Messiah, her Savior, to be forgiven. Absolutely, right? She prays in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and verse 47, it's down in your chapter, after seeing Elizabeth, right? Mary said, Luke 1:46, my soul exalts the Lord, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary needed a Savior as much as I need a Savior, as much as you need a Savior. Mary needed grace as much as we all need grace. So what the angel is saying to Mary is, Mary, hello, the Lord's with you. God is being very gracious to you. And He was, even as He is to all of us. Now, again, I take the time to make this clear. This is not the first time I've covered this, but I just want to be very, very clear, because there are people today who don't understand this. There are people in gospel allegedly preaching churches who are saying, hey, maybe what the Catholics are teaching is really basically the same thing, just with a little bit of a change here and there. That's not the case. Let me review with you what the Hail Mary is. Again, I could pray it by heart. Some of you could join Nancy, I know, would know my wife. But Hail Mary, well, it's not Hail Mary, it's Hey Mary. Full of grace, but that's not what the text says. The Greek text, that she has received grace from God. Okay, the Lord is with thee. Fine. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. See, Mary, you're not a sinner, but I'm a sinner. And since I'm a sinner, I need you to help me out. So, Mary, would you pray for me? And according to the Roman Catholic Church, she is a mediator. She helps me get to God. Okay? That is what people are singing when they sing the Ave Maria. I mentioned this before. I've actually heard of born-again people who believe the Scriptures in wedding ceremonies having the Ave Maria. Just Google it. That's what I did. What pops up? Here's what Wiki says, right? This is not technical. The Hail Mary, also commonly called the Ave Maria, is a traditional Catholic prayer asking for the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Jesus. Why would somebody who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ say, I'm getting married, so we're going to sing a Catholic prayer that denies that Jesus is the only mediator because the music's pretty? I would get up and walk out of the service if they sang it, because it is contrary to the gospel. We need to know this. We need to know what we believe. We need to know what the true gospel is, and we need to know what the false gospel is. And the true gospel of Jesus Christ is there is one mediator. Okay, one mediator. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So now that we've made that clear, I hope that's clear. Okay. And forgive me, some of you might say, Greg, you know, that doesn't seem that important to me. Well, again, well, with my background, it's very important to me. And I hope that it'll just help us to stay on the right path as we think doctrinally correct thoughts about the gospel. You say, what's the point I want to make? Back to Mary. Don't be afraid of what God's doing. The Lord is with you. The Lord was with Mary. The Lord is with you. The Lord is gracious. The Lord was gracious to Mary. And the Lord will be gracious to you. I don't know what unknowns you're facing as you think about a new year. I don't know what kind of things bother you, make you nervous a little bit. Maybe nationally you've been thinking, what if ISIS attacks become regular? And what if what happened out in California suddenly goes all across our country, right? You might have political concerns. Some of you are very nervous. Now, don't cut me off, because I got two names I'm going to use. President, you know, and I'm going to cover both sides, so we're fair. Some of you are nervous, what if Hillary gets elected? And some of you are equally nervous, what if the Donald gets elected, right? And some of you are thinking, either way, I'm not a happy camper, okay? Now, you go either way, but that's making some of you nervous. Some of you are nervous economically, right? What if the stock market crashes? Some of you are very nervous physically. What if I get diagnosed with cancer? Some of you maybe are nervous interpersonally. These are things we struggle with. You know, what if my spouse leaves me? What if somebody in my family rejects the gospel? Right? What if somebody hurts me or takes advantage of me? Some of you are vocationally nervous. What if I get laid off? Academically nervous. What if I can't pass this class? And for all of that, the answer is always, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And the Lord is gracious. And the Lord will help you. Don't be afraid of what God is doing. You don't have to like what He's doing. You don't have to understand what He's doing. But don't be afraid, because the Lord is with you and the Lord is gracious. The second item we'll see tonight, Not only should we not be afraid of what God is doing, secondly, we need to realize that God may call you to do hard things. Notice verse 31. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." What do we see here? We see that sometimes God's word is hard to believe. You know, we're so familiar with the story, and I guess that's a good thing. It's great to know the Christmas story and know it well. But we just kind of go through, Mary's going to have a baby. That's great. Praise the Lord, it's Christmas. What are you getting? And if we could just kind of read it like we're reading it for the first time. Here's a young woman, very young. You know, people suggest Mary may have been roughly 14 years old, which at this point in history would have been a common 14, you know. I mean, I don't want to ask who's here is 14, but think of somebody who's 14 and, whoa, that's young. And the angel says, "You will conceive." That in itself is incredible. I'm going to have a baby. I've never been with a man. How's this going to work? And then on top of it, verse 32. And by the way, he's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to be the Messiah. Sometimes God's word is hard to believe. And so we ask legitimate questions. Verse 34. How Mary said to the angel, she's not doubting. She's just, can you help me a little bit? How can this be since I am a virgin? Well, sometimes God's word is hard to believe. And sometimes God's word doesn't make sense. Look at the answer. The angel answered and said to her, verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Wow. I mean, how would that work for you? You know, hello, 14-year-old young lady. God is graciously blessing you. You're going to have a baby, even though you've never been with a man. And by the way, he's going to be the Messiah. Lord, how? Oh, very simple. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Good. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, I don't know of anybody that's experienced that, right? And that's what you're saying? And this doesn't make any sense. And let's just stay with this more. Even if it's true, who's going to believe me? You think Joseph's going to believe her? I mean, how many of you guys, your fiancé comes up to you, "Hey, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think." See, the Holy Spirit, yeah, okay. Don't you think those thoughts would have went through Mary's mind? Right? Will my parents believe me? Will my friends believe me? Will anyone believe me? Now, see, we know the whole story. And so we're thinking everything works out. It's fine. But see, at this point in time, God's word was very, very hard to believe. And no doubt, even when Mary got the explanation, it did not make sense to her. What's the point we're making? God may call you to do very hard things, right? God may be calling you to get up and leave a job that where you're making good money, to go to a country to begin a job where you make very little money, so that you can share the gospel in the country. And that would make no sense. God may be calling you, even if it's not leaving the country, right, to maybe change jobs for the good of the gospel. Maybe to go somewhere where there's a small church plant and you just have such a burden and you believe it's from God. And you want to help that church plant to go and for the gospel to go forth in a needy area. And other people are saying, this doesn't make any sense. And maybe in some ways it doesn't make sense. You know, God may not be calling you to do something hard. It may be a past tense thing. God may have already called you to experience something very hard. Whether that's in the recent past or the remote past, right? I mean, there are people that have gone through the pain of divorce, and it wasn't your choice, and it wasn't your doing, and you had no control over it. And yet God has called you to deal with that circumstance, right? There are people that have experienced death of loved ones, people that you thought have passed away way too early, physical diagnoses that you would never want to have, and yet now you're battling with cancer or something else, other interpersonal challenges that we face. Maybe there's been people that have been very unkind to you, that have hurt you in very personal, hurtful ways. Things that are absolutely horrific. And yet you've experienced that. And now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, God is calling you to continue forward with your life and to trust Him, even though very hurtful things have happened. You say, Greg, these are things I don't understand. I don't understand why they had to come my way. I don't understand why they happened to me. And my response is, nor do I. And certainly you would never choose them. I would never choose them. But we can still trust God and realize that God has a plan. And part of that plan is He will sometimes call us to endure very difficult things. And He will be with us, and He will give us the grace to endure them. Now, I know frequently we think, man, if I could just understand what God is doing. We don't have to understand to trust. Does that make sense? This Christmas Eve, we were in town. You know, we're usually out of town, and the family, we were all talking. We wanted to do something just kind of fun. And so we've never been to the Biltmore House. I've rode by the Biltmore up on the Blue Ridge Parkway, you know, 50 times at least. And I always thought one day it'd be nice to go. One of the girls thought, hey, why don't we go to the Biltmore? I said, boy, that'd be fun. So New Christmas Eve, as a family, we headed up to the Biltmore House. And so here we are. We wake up. We grab a little bit of breakfast, and we jump on the road. And I know how to get near the house, but I don't know how to actually get to the entrance. You say, well, how do you get to the Biltmore? It's easy, right? I just pull out my phone, and I open up my phone, and I turn it on. And I say, navigate Biltmore House, right? Takes me to the Biltmore House. It goes, in 500 yards, turn left, get in the left-hand lane. In so many yards, destination on your right. Thank you. I turn it off. I put it in my pocket. I don't know how this works. I really don't. I know some of you guys are technical and you might understand, but I honestly don't. I know that there's towers, and if you said, how did that, I don't know. And you say, well, it's the internet. I still don't even know what the internet is, right? I mean, really, like, where is it at? You know, right? Is there like a big building and in the basement's the internet? You say, no. Is it like a net? Well, not really. Well, it has to be somewhere, you know? And then there's the GPS. And I get the GPS tracks me. The GPS, there's coordinates, and they're GPS coordinates. And when I jog, I turn on my running app. And it says, congratulations, you jogged 3 miles. Okay? And it knows that. And it knows where I'm at. But I don't know how that really happens. Now, what's the point of my illustration? It's very simple. I don't understand. But I don't even look up directions anymore. I'll just actually be driving in the general direction. And I just hit my phone. Next thing, I'm at Biltmore. That's how it works, okay? I don't have to understand to trust. God may call you to do hard things, things that are hard to believe, things that don't make sense. But you can still trust Him because you know He is with you and you know that He cares for you. Don't be afraid of what God is doing, number one. Number two, God may call you to do hard things. And number three, you say, Greg, then how do I find encouragement? The same way Mary found encouragement, which is our third point. God's word encourages us to trust Him. Notice the text. It says here in Luke chapter 1, in verse 36, here is Mary maybe struggling, I would assume, right, to really wrap her mind around this. And what does the angel say to encourage her? Verse 36. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. What is the angel saying? Mary, the Lord has kept his word to others. The Lord told what? Elizabeth and Zacharias that they were going to have a baby, and they were too old, but God was faithful to them. And the God who is faithful to them is the same God that will be faithful to you. So the Lord has kept, verse 36, his word to others. And verse 37, the Lord will keep his word to you. You say, how? Look at verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for God to do. Which means no matter what challenge you're facing, no matter what physical challenge, health challenge, financial challenge, vocational challenge, academic challenge, interpersonal challenge, no matter what you've experienced in the past, and I'm not minimizing that at all. I hope it doesn't sound that way. By God's grace, nothing is impossible with God. And God is able to give us the grace to trust Him. In my translation, verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. The NIV translates it this way, for no word from God will ever fail. God's word will never fail. But I can trust in His promises no matter what comes my way. Well, we know that God's word encourages us to trust Him. And what did Mary do? Well, I love verse 38. It's the last verse we'll look at tonight. Verse 38, here's the conclusion. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And that's the conclusion. God's servants trust His word. How can a virgin be pregnant? How can God do this? What if Joseph leaves me? What if my friends reject me? What if everybody turns their back on me? Lord, I don't get it. But it's okay. Behold, may it be done according to me, done to me, according to your word. You know what that would be for us? That would be saying, no matter what's on your mind tonight, no matter what challenge you're facing, no matter what the difficulty's been in your life, no matter what you're struggling with deep down inside, even if you wouldn't tell anyone, it's the ability to say, Lord, I trust you. May your word to me be fulfilled. Would you be willing to say that tonight? As you think about the challenge that's coming to your mind, I'm thinking most of you have one, if not more than one. Again, whether it's the physical health, whether it's interpersonal relationships, whether it's academics, vocation, financial, whatever the big struggle or struggles, would you be willing tonight to say, Lord, I don't understand why life works this way sometimes, but I'm praying tonight, Lord, would your word to me be fulfilled? And you might be thinking, okay, Greg, but wait a second. The angel was promising Mary that she was going to have a baby. You're asking me, would I pray this tonight? The Lord's not promising me that. Obviously the same thing that, right. So how do I apply that to me? What is God's word for me tonight that I'm supposed to be willing to submissively accept? It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. and everything will be fine. God will make your path straight. The Bible is calling us to trust Yahweh with all of our heart, with everything. And don't try to understand. I don't know why many people go through the suffering they go through. But I know God's in control, and as long as He's with me, and He's gracious to me, and that never changes, then all I have to do is trust Him. Trust in Him with everything, all the time. That's the promise for us to trust in this evening. And so we close. We close our last Lord's Day service of the year with an appeal to you to have the heart of Mary, a sinful woman who by God's grace said, "Lord, may your word to me be fulfilled. I don't understand all this, but I will trust you." Would you pray that tonight? As you think of that lost one you're burdened for, as you struggle with that, again, financial, academic, vocational, interpersonal, whatever is really just gripping your heart, would you be willing tonight to pray, "Lord, I just give it all to you. I pray that your word to me would be fulfilled." What word? "Lord, I am praying tonight that I will trust you with all my heart, and I'm not going to try to understand this thing anymore. But I am taking this problem and I am giving it to you. You promised that you would always be with me and you would be gracious to me. And I believe your word." Mary trusted you, Lord, tonight. I am trusting you. Would you do that tonight? Would you end this year giving your challenges and difficulties, crises and problems, giving them all to the Lord? Which doesn't mean they go away. Which does mean that He will care for you and He will make your path straight. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads and we close this last Lord's Day service of the year. Would you tonight, before I close in prayer and Dale leads us in a closing song, would you tonight say, "Lord, you know the burden or burdens of my heart. You know my struggles. But just like Mary trusted you, even though she didn't understand, Lord, I trust you. And tonight I bring this burden to you and I give it to you. And Lord, I trust you that you'll always be with me, that you'll be gracious to me. And even through this challenge, that you will bring about straight paths in my life. I trust you." I'd like to just pause for a moment and give people an opportunity as quietly, no external show. God knows what's inside. That each of us would have an opportunity to pray.